Welcome into the BBP2 in our second Inquirer Bengals podcast of the week. Every Thursday during the season, we'll bring you more specific game preview insight from players and your Cincinnati.com beat writers. But that's only the beginning. Every week, we'll bring you Paul Dougherty's hot seat with our guest on Beyond the Stripes, our advanced analytics conversation with the team at Pro Football Focus, as well as a Throwback Thursday interview with a voice from Bengals past. All right, let's go. All right, welcome to the latest edition of the Deuce, the BBP2. Paul Dougherty Jr. here with your fellow Bengals beat writer, Jim Ossarski. But special guest this week, really, you need no introduction, and this is just the perfect week to have you join us here on the Deuce with the Browns coming to town.
Brown, not Deuce.
Because they're dropping a Deuce this season.
They are.
You can't really get away from it, Paul.
You can't get away from bathroom humor on PBB2. It's just what we do. Richard Skinner of Local 12, formerly my podcast compatriot. So good to have you back on the ones and twos.
It is outstanding to be back with you two fellows.
We kind of like to get sort of look forward and talk about whatever the issue was during the week this week. And everyone sort of has an opinion, so it's good to have another opinion here. I want to start with Vontaze Burfict. What's your take on the Bengals' take of what happened on those two plays, their defense of what happened on those two plays, and the league's reaction of the 75K and them obviously saying he did something wrong?
Yeah, well, I'll start with the league. I mean, there just isn't – everybody sees what they want to see in that video, right? I mean, if you are anti-Vontaze Burfict, anti-Bengals, you see him clearly stomping the foot, kicking the leg of LeGarrette Blount. If you are pro-Vontaze Burfict, and there's not a large camp of that, but if you're pro-Vontaze Burfict and you're pro-Bengals and you see it a different way, you see – What I think anybody else, which is really there's not conclusive evidence. I think, and that's why the NFL didn't suspend it. If the NFL, if there'd been clear evidence, he's suspended. I think it thinks there's evidence. They know the guy. That's why they hit him with 75 grand. So for them, it was a hard decision, but an easy decision because they couldn't suspend him. Now, the reaction from the Bengals, I thought was interesting because they all came to his defense. Normally, I would say, man, honestly, you can't keep enabling this guy. You can't keep saying it that way. But I think they truly don't believe he did anything wrong here. And Marvin Lewis was pretty, I think, outspoken for Marvin. I mean, usually Marvin would, I think, soft shoe that if he didn't want to really come out and say it. I think he did look at it a bunch. Now, would he have said if he saw something that he clearly saw something? Probably not. He probably would have given us a completely different answer than he gave us yesterday.
Right.
But I think the answer he gave us, fellas, was one in which he looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and didn't see clear-cut evidence of what he did. Now, to turn him into a good Samaritan was another take, but because he's certainly not a good Samaritan. But for me, unless I saw clear evidence, I know I can't give him benefit of the doubt. Nobody can give him benefit. He hasn't earned benefit of the doubt, but it's not clear enough to say he did something.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, before we jump into it, let me go ahead and bring in the audio of Marvin Lewis discussing this from his angle at the press conference on Wednesday about his feelings on what went down with Vontaze Burfict.
Some of the scrutiny surrounding Burfict this week, do you feel like because of his history, he's going to be...
I think 100%. Yes, I agree 100%. And that's the thing he knows he's got to realize all the time. And that way, and then, so it's not the national furor all the time of what's going on. Fury, I guess, would be the word. Just play football, and our guys aren't going to talk about it. And as I've instructed, anybody has any questions, they can talk to me about it. But that's the way it has to be.
How do you get a guy that plays on such an emotional edge, and the team clearly feeds off his emotion? How do you get him to balance being an emotional player?
I don't think he did anything wrong. So I think we were not in the wrong here, and in my opinion, and it's unfortunate. So, and that was what I have told and stood on, and will continue to. Anything else?
So not in the wrong, just to clarify, on the second video, the one.
I think either thing.
Either thing.
Either thing. I don't think he meant to do anything And I've been through it back and forth, and as big as this board behind me. And, you know, hell, if I can see who steps where or whatever, I seem to try to step through and try to go help the teammate that has somebody from another team has his hand on his teammate's face mask, pushing him in the face. And that's what he's trying to get to. Anyway, but that doesn't matter. It's done what's done, and we'll move on, and things will happen the way they happen. But we got to just get ready to play the Cleveland Browns. And that's my distraction.
You get tired of
it? Yes, I'm tired of it. I bet you are as well.
What was your take, Jim?
Well, I'll agree with Skinny in that I watching it from the views that I had, which obviously weren't all the coaches' views. Again, it's you know the guy. To me, I thought intent was clear, almost like, well, I'll step over here, and if it lands on the guy, oh, you know. But Skinny's right. It they defended him, and it's funny. I go back to even the Antonio Brown thing, 'cause it's all related. Really, it's like that borderline stuff we're talking about. Because Max Williams was the cheap shot.
Right.
And that's the one he got away with, which to me actually is what led to the suspension.
Yeah.
And Greg Olson.
So yeah. These things are the edge that he's on, right? And I think the Brown and now this shows, he can't be on that edge, if that makes sense. Like, this is the edge he's choosing, like, kind of grayish, you know?
Well, even coming to the defense of Drake Kirkpatrick on the taunting penalty on Gronkowski, right. He can't be the guy doing
that. No, he can't
be
that.
Somebody, I don't mind somebody
doing
that.
But that's his role. But that's been his role on this team to be. That's what Adam Jones called him. He said he hired hitman in that way. He is the enforcer. He's the guy who's the attitude. He's the chip on the shoulder. He's the don't screw with us face. So now you're saying stop being that thing that we've told you we want you to be. And especially judging by the reaction of players and coaches and everything, they don't want him to stop doing that.
No, I think that part was clear from yesterday with a lot of different guys and some really logical, level-headed people, Andrew Whitworth among them, yeah. that came to his defense. So
I guess here's the thing. Adam and Tez and even Dre to an extent, like, to me, those guys running the jerseys, the stripes, are not helping anyone. It's not helping their cause. It's not helping the team's cause. Right. Carlos Dunlap said, look, oh, hey, 55, calm him down. And Carlos is like, he's not even here.
Yeah.
So there's a part of it to me that seems like almost, I don't want to put this on, one of the other guys, but it seems like someone else needs to go to the official. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to get involved in a scrum and Gronk is standing over your teammate.
But no one's supposed to be going to the official. Isn't that part of the deal? That's all we hear from Marvin.
Or a captain. I mean, a captain can certainly walk up and go,
Adam's
hey.
One of them's Adam Jones.
Adam is a captain, that's right. But Adam also wasn't the one because he got dinged a player or two before. I don't even know if he was on the field on the Dre catch. I really don't.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back.
Yeah, but I mean, he's jumping up in the air and sprinting at the official after the interference or the defensive hold. I don't know. I just that's the role that they ask him to play.
Yeah.
So to ask him to suddenly stop doing it, and Adam made it clear yesterday when we were talking to him that Vontaze has been trying to play it right, and he was getting patted on the back for doing it right the first couple of games. And we talked about, is that hurting his game out there? Because you haven't really seen much of him. I mean, he's sort of been out there, and he's made a few plays, but yet we've probably noticed him more getting beat than we have actually making plays. That's the other side of this. I just think the whole thing is a big mess. And I don't know. To me, the intent, like you mentioned, I think it's unfortunate, in my opinion. Everyone has an opinion on this. The Bengals have theirs. The league has theirs. Everybody that's
other players
have theirs. And I'm sure some players inside this locker room as well don't see it the way that the team has seen it. But the bottom line, in my opinion, I mean, I just feel like it looks like intent in a guy who had a switch flipped in his head at the end of that game and started being old Vontaze that doesn't do it right.
Here's a question to spin it forward to this weekend. So you see the Steelers already planting seeds 9 weeks in advance.
No doubt.
Going at them. Look, this is a divisional game on Sunday. Look, he's come back against AFC East opponents and, an NFC opponent who don't really – maybe care, have the history, have got, I wonder if you're Hugh, if you're that old coordinator, hey, take a run at 55.
Oh, yeah.
Push him around a little bit.
See how he reacts.
See how he reacts.
Well, that's absolutely certainly in Hugh's personality.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something he would stand for. He'd be okay with it.
You know what I mean? So I'm curious to see now. Like, maybe, you know, I'll be honest, guys. I haven't gone back.
Everybody becomes Jerry Sheesting here, from if everybody remembers that from long ago.
Wow.
When he antagonized
Ralph
Sampson.
Yes, is this the skinny old man moment of the week?
Old man moment of the week.
Man, we haven't had one of those in a while.
He picked a fight with Ralph. The worst Celtic of all picked a fight with Ralph Sampson. And
Jerry Sheesting?
Yeah, Jerry Sheesting.
Yeah, I guess that for people of our generation, Paul, I guess that'd be like Rick Mahorn coming off the bench and like knocking Scottie Pippen down or something.
Barely into our generation there.
Barely,
yeah.
Close.
No. But you know what I mean? So I guess I'm curious to see what happens now. Because I haven't looked at all of his snaps those first three games to see if they were taking shots at him after the pile.
Right,
and
yeah,
he's been
yeah.
good. I don't know. You know? Curious to see what happens now.
Yeah, I mean, it is true, though. There is no doubt. And we wrote about it before the season, and I couldn't. I had to keep retweeting that yesterday. It's like, this is exactly what we wrote about. This is the new reality for Vontaze Burfict. You will be targeted by officials, by opposing teammates, by the league,
right?
By national media,
yeah,
by everyone. The set, they're all looking for it. They all have a close eye on it because of what you've done, and you have made that bed.
Yeah.
You know? 8 fines now in 53 games played for totaling $805,400.
Wow.
Puts the onus on you. You earned that. I'm sure, like, not all of those were BS, right?
Right.
You know,
absolutely not.
You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, even if you're claiming some of them were BS, you're still looking at a career lace with this stuff. And that's an earned target. And I, you know,
And it goes back to past history. We're not just talking about NFL past history. We're talking about college past history.
Oh, college is even worse,
this
obviously.
This was the narrative coming out of college.
Sure.
And Marvin was the guy that kind of resurrected him and fixed him. And yet the narrative continues now into his career. And the only way he escapes it is he just has to almost stop cold turkey. But I think you're right, Paul. That's just not his personality. And it may not be the personality they want. Every team needs that guy, and he's that guy. But the problem is that guy now is over the edge to a point where it continues to get him in trouble.
How often can he continue to deal with getting fined? How often can he continue to deal with possibly getting suspended and costing his presence in a game?
Hearing from Adam Jones yesterday, it almost sounds like he was almost crying about the fact that he doesn't want to get fined anymore. That it really now is starting to take a toll on him, that money's getting – this is real money getting taken out. I'm like, heck yeah, it's real money,
that's
man.
That's real money. That's – I mean, shoot, if you don't learn that from the 3 game checks lost, that was 530, whatever it was. I mean,
you know, $9,000 for a personal foul, $15,000 for a personal foul, once or twice. You're
game checks.
That's
game
real.
Checks. When you make the money he makes, that's a huge. Yep. That's huge. And so he's got to fit. But you know, so do you embrace? I mean, does he just say, screw it? This is who I'm going to be. I'm going to play like it, and you can keep finding me. I don't think you can afford to do that, and your team can't afford for you to do that, because eventually they're going to come down with more and more
suspensions. I just go back to it's going to take another teammate, Jim, to jump in when anything goofy happens. When a shoving match starts, someone has to now be the guy that jumps in and just gets him right away, or jumps in between and
after a punt return.
Because it was every time he got tackled on a punt return, he would go after the guy that tackled him. Like, it was like that guy offended him personally.
Why did you stop me?
And you need someone who knows, find Adam as soon as the play over and restrain him. But do you really need somebody? I mean, sometimes the Vontaze restrainer could be in coverage down the field.
Well,
but for the most part, when a fight breaks out, everyone on the Bengals team should be finding 55 and trying to hold him back.
Yeah,
I mean, because he's the one that will go too far.
Because here's the thing too, and I know I mentioned this earlier in the week on BBP1, Paul. He was the one guy who wasn't flagged for any of this stuff.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. You know, Patriots were the ones hit with flag. So and the reason I bring it up again is because now you get hit with a league fine, and again, spinning it forward to this weekend, where going it, you know, maybe that flag comes out now.
Yeah.
Because he was in the mix, and maybe those refs at the time were like, okay, you really weren't involved, you didn't deserve a flag, but clearly the league was like, you fine. So you know what I mean?
I don't know.
Interesting.
We, along with the rest of the country, can talk about this till we're blue in the face.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens next. The bottom line is he's not suspended, and we'll see if there's any other fines coming out of this game.
Yeah, I mean,
later this
true.
Week. So I mean, there could be more for others. So you don't know. So we'll find that out. But for now, $75,000 for Vontaze Burfict, but he's good to go this weekend. Let's talk about how bad the Browns are. So how many? You need them to finish five, and they have to go 5-6.
Yeah, they have to go 5-5-6. I need 5 wins over the next
3 years. Or 5-5-5. 5-5. They have to finish 500.
I think I need 5 wins over the next 3 years. Isn't that right?
Yeah. That's what it was.
Isn't that how this works?
You gotta hit that somehow.
I'm still not sure I can get to that, to be honest with you.
What? I mean, at least.
What was I thinking? Just go and just spit it out.
No. I was going to say.
No, he's got the Jags winning 8 games.
That's where I was going to go with this.
You both are just.
How far on the unlikely scale down are the Jags winning 6 more compared to the Browns winning 5 of the last 10?
I'll tell you what.
The gap isn't as big as I'd like it to be.
It's not as big. You're right. It's not big. But I would tell you this. I wouldn't even be willing to double down with you right now to tell you the Browns win 2 games. If I said, Paul, you know what? Let's just scratch. Give me just 2 wins. I wouldn't even take it.
You wouldn't do 2?
No.
I think they're going to win 2.
They're terrible.
But
they're hurt.
They've been relatively competitive. Their offense has. They've been able to run the ball.
Give them a cookie and a juice box.
I think at the end of the
season,
some of the like 14 million rookies that they have on their team will start to play better. I think they'll win a couple.
The one thing I would say,
they'll be very Bengals in the 90s. Like, I think they'll finish with a little flurry and get everybody happy up there.
No, the one thing I think that is going to happen is, as long as Cody Kessler stays healthy and he's got Hugh Jackson.
Boy, there's an if.
No, that's right. And that's the thing. But if he stays healthy, I think he will continue to get better because of Hugh. And I think that's a positive that they can hang their hat on. But yeah, it's a big if that the kid stays healthy.
He started 4 games. He didn't finish one of them already.
Yeah.
So it's that O-line.
Their O-line is just so, I mean.
Despite the fact
that
they have
one of the premium. They knew that.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, that's just it, though. That when you let all your O-line go, and you don't really have replacements, and then the guys you do have replacements get hurt. I mean, this is what happens. This is what happens to you.
Tony had some kind of surgery I've never heard of before.
Liz Frank, yeah. Irving was in the hospital. He was in the hospital for 3 weeks. He comes back. They're like, you know what? You're our best option. Welcome back. And he got killed last week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
they signed Jonathan Cooper 2 weeks ago.
Who the Cardinals said, get out of our face.
Please.
And the Patriots said, get out of our face.
Right.
And the Browns were like, oh, you could start.
For us, absolutely. Yeah. Come on. Bring it on. Yeah. It is bad. It is going to take them some time because this isn't just a roster turnover, man. This is a couple 3 to 5 year roster turnover.
I'm telling you, it's 2018, 2019 is when they're competitive
again. It just makes me laugh because this isn't baseball.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, the guys who you think might be good now, either A, could be out of the league by then or hurt or, you know.
Or in this league, you know, I mean, you age pretty quickly at certain positions, too. And
well, they're not aging. They're all 22.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
I mean, everybody on the roster is 22 and hurt. But, you know, after the Jags' remarkable win against the Bears, and their schedule is easy as pie the rest of the way. They've got some games against the Colts.
They do.
They've got lots of easy tilts. I'm not writing them off just yet. Well, but whereas we're all writing off the Browns this
morning. So the Browns have to go 5-5.
That's correct.
And the Jags have to go 6-4.
That is accurate, I believe.
Yeah, 6-4. They need 6 more wins.
Maybe six.
I don't know if they have to have their bye.
They had their bye after they had their bye.
So they 6-5.
Yeah,
they have 11 games.
It's doable.
They're 2-3.
I wish I could show people the look on both of your faces right now.
Well, no, I know I'm doomed. He has at least a heartbeat in
now,
this thing.
The other side of it is
zero chance for mine.
The fire pool. The
that's
coach
the
fire
the
pool has twisted back towards you.
I know it
in
has.
A hurry, which I felt really
you
in control
all,
of it a couple
I was,
weeks
I was
ago.
All Gus Bradley's dead in that Colts game.
Yeah.
He survived it. You were all Mike McCoy was going to lose on Thursday night to Denver. Goodbye, and I was kind of with you. And
yeah, and
he
then
salvages his.
He
gig,
salvages
so.
His now. Pagano after that meltdown is back on the hot seat, and
they got a chance to lose again this week. Yeah. So that would be a bad L too. Yeah, so
they aren't going good for John Fox.
Nope.
Foxy's not looking great. I mean, there's a lot happening there in that fire pool.
And you can
that
get
could
Chip
come
Kelly
down
any
week.
Day now. Go, I'm done with this thing in Frisco. I've had enough.
That's going to be the surprise exit.
That was a great pick.
Is there's going to be all kinds of craziness where like guys are going to be having to defend themselves in press conferences, and Chip Kelly's going to get up in week 15 and say,
"I'm done.
Walk out, and I'm going to win the dessert.
I'm just going to drop the mic. It was a great call. It was a great pick.
There's
I will
no
give
doubt.
Credit for that.
There's no doubt. Right, okay, before we get, let's get out of here real quick. In a second here, but first, before we get out of here, you know what we got to do? It's only fitting that you're here, Skinny.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
We got to talk about mybookie.net.
Yeah, and actually, Skinny, this the fire bet is my favorite because I love the props. I love the prop bets. Mybookie.net. You can do those. You can that they have the prop the odd player prop bets. And, you know, and in-game action, too, Skinny.
Does he have, like,
and
number Paul. Of snaps that Cody Kessler will take on somebody?
It's possible. It's possible. Just remember, go online, type MyBookie into your browser, sign up today. Use the promo code BEAT, which is B-E-A-T, BEAT, to be entered into their $1 million prize pool. You can call 844-722-2387. Join the thousands of online players playing already. Only the biggest, only the best, only at MyBookie. Sign up today. All right, let's
I'm
going to
do it.
You're going to do it. You're going to do it. Go plug in the fire. Plug in the fire bets in
absolutely.
There.
I love it.
I mean, you know, double down on yourself.
Yes, I will. We're Edge. We're Edge.
We're Edge. That's true. That's true. You're going to go and you're going to go all the way on the other side of
all on your guys.
all right. Any shot for the Browns on Sunday? What are we predicting?
I do think there's a shot. I think actually I'm going to go 27-20 Bengals.
27-20.
I think it's going to be there's going to be fans of Paul Brown just sitting on their hands. I think Hugh's pulling out all the stops, and I think this defense, Paul, we talk about it all Tuesday, I have issues with them. And like while I do think they can dominate like Miami, they're going to sack Cody
and
Kessler.
Cleveland.
I could see, you know, a big play.
Right.
Like that Kenny Stills. I can see some weird trick thing on special teams that kind of gets the Browns in it. So 27-20, maybe 27-17.
Yeah.
It'll be
yeah.
closer than I think Bengals fans will want because I just don't think this Bengals group is ready for the 35-4 or 3 blowout.
No. I'm going to go with what I'm going to pick on local 12. 27-17 Bengals.
Yeah.
I'm with you. That crowd could turn in a heartbeat. I don't think it'll be very into it, and it has kind of a Miami feel to it.
Yeah, I think 23-14. I think we're all kind of in the same area. I think too many field goals. I still think too many field goals for the Bengals. Although we don't know, maybe Tyler Eifert will be back this week and try to help that red zone hashtag red zone woes. We don't know, but I think we're all kind of the same mind. We are also, I assume, of the same mind that if the Browns do pull the upset, we all are going to bring our fire retardant gear.
I don't want to come here Monday.
No, that's it. I think I'm going to have the full hazmat suit. I'm going to be walking out of the stadium like a firefighter going into the breach. Like, I'm just going to be covered head to toe.
It's going to be a fun plane ride to London if that's the case.
Oh, and back.
And back with another L.
Yeah, play out the scenario of losing to former coach Hugh Jackson and losing to former coach Jay Gruden in back-to-back weeks to go 2-6. I mean, if you can't bring the pitchforks and the lanterns out fast enough for Marvin Lewis at that point, I don't know. I don't know what would. I'm sorry, Bengals fans.
Let's just take this into
and
a dark place.
4-4 at
yeah.
this stage.
And like I wrote in Thursday's walkthrough, or they could be tied for first place in the AFC North very realistically
very
in a couple of weeks.
Very quickly, yeah.
Very quickly. I mean, Pittsburgh goes New England. They have Dallas. They have a road game at Baltimore, all without Ben Roethlisberger likely. I mean, 0-3 is probably the most likely thing to come out of that.
And then maybe 2 or 3 more weeks without Ben Roethlisberger.
Joe Flacco was hurt.
Schedule, but still a couple more weeks without him.
So we'll see about that. All right, let's get out of here. Skinny, thanks for joining us.
I appreciate you guys having me.
Great to have you back. Worst of luck to you the rest of the season.
Same
your
for you,
best.
Paul.
Yeah, no problem. All right. Right before we go, though, you got to remember we've got our hot seat from Tuesday's. It was actually a good one. Andrew Whitworth was really good with Docs. You can listen to the hot seat with Andrew Whitworth. And of course, our PFF breakdown is we got into the what's been very sad play from the linebackers this week with Steve Palazzolo at Pro Football Focus. So enjoy those two things. All right, now we're out of here.
Burgundy Chardonnay. Why? Yeah. Problem?
All right, welcome back to the Hopper House in Newport. We are here on Beyond the Stripes, presented by JoeSpaulding.com. It is time for the hot seat. This is like, I don't know how many times you and Witt have done the hot seat. I don't know how many more questions.
He's a grizzled veteran at the hot seat.
He is.
He really
is. I don't
know
how many more questions you've got left.
Oh, I got tons.
Oh, goodness.
That's what I do, man.
Have at it.
Do you want a pretzel?
No, I'm good. Thank you, though.
You good? You got a big beer?
Mental toughness. I'm just sitting as close as I can to it, but not touching it.
They're excellent. And I'm not saying it just because I'm up here and we're propping this place. They're really good.
I don't have any doubt about that.
Why don't you have one?
No, I can't do it. Mental toughness.
Here's something I always wanted to ask you, or any guy that has a beard, right?
Okay.
We're talking about beards up here. Do you ever get food stuck in your beard?
I mean, my wife constantly, while I'm eating, frustrates me because she tells me every 5 seconds when something catches in it. And so I have to keep wiping it out. And, you know, that's the most frustrating part, honestly. So I started just giving up on foods that might drip or get anything in it. So I just try to – the simplest food I can eat to where I don't have to be frustrated by that is the best. Yeah.
I had a fraternity brother once who had a chicken bone stuck in his beard.
That's weird.
Nobody told him about it. He just walked around a whole night with – after dinner, no lie. We have dinner in the fraternity house. He just walked around with a chicken bone stuck in his beard. Nobody said anything. It was hilarious.
Yeah,
everybody's awkward. Laughing. He didn't know why. I said, man, you got a chicken bone in your beard. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Funny and gross.
He shaved the beard.
I bet he did.
What's the heaviest object you ever lifted? I'm not talking about a free weight or a weight or any of that stuff. I'm talking about an inanimate object.
Ooh. You know what? I think one time I had to help somebody. I don't really know if I'd consider it lifting, but I did lift it a little bit. We were trying to move a real small car in college, and a couple of us linemen picked up one side of it.
So. A real small car.
Yeah.
So you picked
They're
up the move
that. It wasn't like it was a big car, but...
Oh, of course not. You
it was
the,
heavy.
Wouldn't want to lift a big car, just a small, you know, two-ton car.
Yeah, one side of it. You can lift it if you have enough guys.
Really?
Add the weight up.
Did you move it?
We just kind of picked it up where the two tires were off the clearance so I could move something. That was it.
Was it heavy?
No. It was well, not with six of us. It wasn't as bad. But when we tried it the first couple times with a few of us, it was very easy.
When I was a kid, we used to drift cars. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
We'd see a car in our neighborhood parked on a hill. We'd get in. We'd put it in gear. Drift that sucker like 50 yards away from the house. So when a guy got up the next day, he didn't know where his car was.
Well, they don't really let you do that nowadays.
What do you know about the NFL now that you didn't know a decade ago?
Probably the overall sacrifice it takes if you want to play this game for a long time and be really good at it. I think when I looked at veteran players, elite guys, you know, if it was at that time Ray Lewis and you know, some of those guys I got to play when I was a young player coming into the league, I don't think I quite understood the sacrifice that their body goes through
right.
and mentally what they go through to keep their teams competitive, to always be the guy that everybody can lean on to keep themselves where they're playing at a certain level. I mean, there's a lot that goes into being a veteran football player, and especially a captain. And so I think I have a new understanding of what those guys have been through.
Are you romantic?
I would say yes. I'm very romantic.
Really? How so?
I'm not like a cheesy romance guy. I don't
not flowers and candy and all that nonsense.
No, we don't do all that. I just, I'm a surprise guy. I like it, you know, I don't wait for Valentine's or birthdays to do nice things. I feel like a random Tuesday, you should wake up with breakfast in bed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's romance, you know, when you don't expect it and you have no clue and all of a sudden somebody does something really
nice.
That's enough.
My wife is here tonight. All right. No ideas. She thinks I'm romantic. She's laughing. What would your wife say that makes you special?
Well, she probably lists the 10 things that make me not special first. But, no. You know what? I don't know. I think probably my consistency. Just that I think she would probably say that every day... what I'm going to give for her, for my kids, for my job, for the guys that I'm responsible of trying to mentor and prepare. And she knows that she don't ever have to question that I'll give 100% for that.
Wow. You are, by acclamation, at least from us up here, the best, one of the top five I've ever dealt with in the locker room. You're probably number one. I'm just trying to make it sound like
I'm not totally snowing.
You know what I mean? I gotta be a little cynical. You're one of the top five, maybe up closer to one than five. Where did you learn that sort of media skill? I mean, you lockered next to Willie for a while and saw Willie kind of do what you do. Where did you get the ability to deal with idiots like us?
well, a combination of a lot of things. I think. Growing up in Louisiana, where I did, with a mother that was a teacher for 30-something years, and just kind of growing up in that element and understanding the respect it takes for what teachers do and people that have always taught me things in my life, and having a grandmother that was kind of the rock for a lot of our family, who taught me a lot about caring for people and accepting people, and no matter where background, what skin color, what anything, just always taking people at the value that you know them at, not what somebody tells you. I think those kind of things, if you enter any situation, can help you be successful at something, more successful at something, at the beginning. And then throughout time, I think one of my greatest attributes, I always say, is I am a world-class observer. So I observe people every day, all day. A lot of times people think I'm quiet, but the reality is I'm really watching everyone around me. And I'm just taking a little bit of how they handle situations, how they do things, what they say, how people react to the things they say. And so sometimes I worry myself to death with how people react. My wife always says, you give the worst media answers ever, because it's like you cover every basis without actually giving any information. because she was a news anchor, and so that's the other part of it. Right. She's trained me a lot in our time together with that, as she's always kind of teaching me things that I may say or repeatedly do that are not good for the camera or not good for when I'm doing an interview, that don't get my point across. Or sometimes if I'm too candid or too emotional about an answer, she will kind of give me feedback. So that helps me too, just having someone that's been in the media her whole life.
Thumbs up or thumbs down playing football on Thursday night?
Do I get to do a situational? Can I add an ad lib to it?
You can do whatever you want, brother. You're a star.
Pre-week six, thumbs up.
Because it's early.
Earlier in the year, I think the better. The less beat up you are, the better. And if you're not the road team, it's a thumbs up. But the road team, that's what people don't understand. So I listed to you my week. You know, if I'm the road team, the reality is Monday and Tuesday, the 2 days that I feel the worst anyways after a game, that I'm trying to just get that out. Wednesday I travel, so I lose an entire day of rehab, of getting a chance to get in tubs, to get therapy, and now I'm in a new city where I don't know anybody to do that kind of stuff, and the next night I'm playing. And so the road team has a tremendous challenge in those games every time, just because your recovery time and chances to do anything about it are very limited.
Media in the post-game locker room 10 minutes after a game, thumbs up, thumbs down?
You know, I've gone back and forth. You know, I had the big deal last year. I talked about it a lot. I still think, in my opinion, I still think that with everything that's required of us as players, I mean, you put all these things in contracts that we have to do this, have to do that. It would be so easy to require us to report to a room for media obligations. And if you're not requested or you're not needed, then you can leave. To get people out of our locker rooms and have our own private workspace, that's not that hard to fix if somebody just wanted to fix it. And so I just think, you know, to me, that wouldn't change reaction. That wouldn't give us enough time to not give you a good answer. You know, it would just be, hey, guys, you know what? Here's a T-shirt and shorts that you wear to the media after the game. This is the room. And, you know, all of you go in there. And if none of you requested, you can go ahead and go shower. You know, and if you get requested, we'll come find you. And so that's so easy to do. I mean, we're paying PR directors on every team anyways. I mean, why couldn't they do that? Why couldn't they come get every player you request?
I agree.
It's an obligation to go there. So I'm for anything that gets people out of the locker room. I just think that that should be our private space to be with one another, to be in any way we want to be without people in it.
Thumbs up, thumbs down, Terrell Suggs.
Thumbs up, man.
Thumbs up.
Warrior.
Joey Porter.
Thumbs down.
Ray Lewis.
Thumbs up.
Colin Kaepernick.
You know, that's a tough one. I don't know if I'll give a, because I feel like this is the real answer I'll give you. If he responds when he sees the good the same way he's responded when he's seen the bad, I'll give him a thumbs up. But you can't just stick with a protest and never respond to things that change or things that are good. So I honestly think that Colin Kaepernick, to me, it's an ongoing process. If he does the right thing when people finally, and I agree with him, get together and make change in this country with positive things to help that situation, then you know what? I'll applaud him for his move because he did it for the right reasons. And
Go ahead, please.
And that's it. So, yeah. I mean, that's how I feel about it.
Sunrise or sunset?
Ooh. You know, I'm an early morning guy, so I got to go sunrise.
I'm an evening guy. I don't like sunrise at all, brother. I'm never up at sunrise. No chance. Yeah. The hedges or the swamp?
You know, I played in the hedges once and lost like 45-10, so I'm going to go to the swamp probably. Now, undefeated also, in the swamp.
You're also a Louisiana guy, so jazz or blues?
Oh, I'm blues.
Me too. That's good. Do you ever play an instrument?
No. I'm not very musically inclined.
Ever want to? Anything you ever wanted?
I've wanted to play guitar. My father's a tremendous guitar player and has a ton of them and has done it his whole life. That's his only hobby, really. Other than that, he plays tennis and plays guitar, and he's a tremendous player. So I've always wanted to do it.
Yeah.
I'm left-handed. That was kind of a conflict growing up because I couldn't really learn from him since he's right-handed. And then I just never really sat down. I'm too active. I can't sit still long enough to do that.
You never wanted to be the grizzled veteran on the flute?
No. No.
Yeah. All right. When I'm in a party, one of these three, pick it out. I like to be the center of attention. Two, I grin and bear it. Or three, I would rather be anywhere else.
I'm not a party guy. So, I like to have fun like anybody, but I'm not a huge, tons of crowd, loud music. I'm more of a, 5, 6, 7, 8 people sitting around somewhere like this, watching some TVs, hanging out, and having a good time talking and telling jokes.
Does Andy Dalton buy the lineman stuff?
Buy the lineman stuff.
Yeah, Boomer Esiason 1 year bought his lineman like shotguns or something.
It's improved. I think at this point he would be okay with me saying it's improved. I feel like at first, he was kind of like, all right, I have to do this. So I get y'all like a big pack roll of gum,
Wow.
And now it's progressed. And so he's embracing it. That's for sure. The problem that he doesn't understand is the more money he makes, the more expectation there'll
be.
So, we're gonna have to upgrade. But we annoy him with that kind of stuff all the time. It's okay.
So what's he's gone from being kind of not great to what's the best thing he's gotten you guys?
Last year he got us a Delta gift certificate so we could travel. So that was pretty nice.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. So everybody got a little free flight out of him somewhere.
One free flight.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
You feel like that didn't excite you that much?
Nah, not at all. But where did you go with your free flight? Anywhere?
I don't even think I've used it yet.
Expiration probably expires after a year,
I'm probably going to make him re-gift it. So we'll see. No, I think I'm all right on the expiration, maybe. I might need to check on that.
Are you afraid of clowns?
I'm not.
What are you afraid of?
Failure. So I'm afraid of failure.
No, I'm talking about something tangible. Clowns or spiders
really.
Or the dark.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'm afraid of something. I'll say this. I'm not a huge heights person.
Ice?
Heights. Like heights,
heights.
Being heights.
I'm not a big... You're pretty high, man. You all right?
No, I'm good on that.
Okay.
But I don't like huge, tall buildings where it's just like floor-to-ceiling windows. Like that kind of, that kind of irks me a little bit. A
little vertigo happening.
Yeah. Balconies, like beaches, big places. Oh, it freaks me out a little bit too.
If you were J.J. Watt, what lineman would you least like to face?
Oh, what lineman would I least like to face? J.J. Watt. I probably would say I'm a huge fan of the Cowboys line, so probably you could probably pick a couple guys on that one. But I would say probably Tyron or Zach Martin. Those dudes that's two big, insanely strong, good players. Yeah. Tyron Smith or Zach Martin.
Your time here as a Bengal, not counting yourself, best run blocker on this team.
Well, I think anybody that doesn't list Willie Anderson is one of those guys, man. I think him and the boss man, Bobby Williams, were exceptional. And for a long time, they were rocking people's worlds. Those were two big humans. But Willie was exceptional, man. His ability to move people. The bottom line is just not many guys that are 350 pounds and had the power and athleticism that guy had. And so... he's a tremendous football player and has some amazing highlights on film of things he used to do to people. Actually, this camp showed some of the young guys on our team some clips of Willie that I thought were pretty impressive, just kind of because he was coming to help us. I wanted them to see him.
Toughest teammate in terms of playing through physical discomfort?
Ooh, man. You know what? Ray Malaluga is probably one of the toughest son of a guns I've ever been around. I mean, he's had some significant injuries, some significant things that, you know, the guy just doesn't even flinch. I mean, you know, I remember a couple years ago, he like tore his hamstring or something, and like just blood all over his hamstring. His whole leg was purple and black. And I mean, he was back in half the time they thought he'd be, just gritting his teeth and playing. I mean, he's a tough dude.
One way to make the world a better place.
Care. Yeah. Just if everybody just, you know what, just, you know, be kind and care, man. I mean, show everybody the same respect you want. And I think that's a real simple way to solve a lot of situations.
Do you have any questions for me?
No, I don't. You know this. Doc and I go way back. We do the hot seat every day. It's usually something him and I disagree on. At least part of something we disagree on every day. So we're used to it.
Well, I appreciate your attendance and your participation and not asking me any questions.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to put you in the hot seat. See, that's because I'm nice to you.
You
see what I'm saying? You want to
Why
put me in
that?
A bad situation. I try not to get you in a bad situation. See?
I appreciate that. I probably won't remember it the next time I got to talk to you.
I know you won't. You'll still be mean to me.
It.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm all right with it.
All right, brother. You're off the hot seat.
Thank you.
Let's hear it for Andrew Whitworth.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Bengals in Focus here at the Pro Football Focus Studios down over the Rhine in Cincinnati. Paul Daner Jr., your Bengals beat writers for the Inquirer, and Steve Palazzo, lead analyst for Pro Football Focus. Steve, great to have you back here again. This week, we're going to talk a little bit about where the Bengals linebackers are at, because they won't be the first to go into New England and have Tom Brady throw all around them, but this was the latest. And before we dive too far in, how fair is it to judge where the Bengals linebackers have been at when the last 2 weeks have been against Dallas's run game and Tom Brady?
That's where it starts, because Dallas's run game might be the very best in the NFL when you look at which offensive linemen they have. Zach Martin, our number two graded run blocker at guard. Travis Frederick, our number two run blocking center. Tyron Smith, our number one run blocking left tackle last year. They're so stacked on the offensive line. And then Ezekiel Elliott doing a great job as a rookie running the ball. And then, of course, Tom Brady, who is known for picking apart underneath coverage as he did against the Bengals on Sunday. So you're looking at probably the best running game and then the best short passing game in the NFL back-to-back weeks.
Still, the Bengals pride themselves on being able to stop even the best in this league, and they've been able to do it for years. In this game, you know, we saw Vontaze Burfict, 47.6 was his grade, and then Vinnie Ray, 44. Carlos Dansby, 30.1. Those numbers are far below an average, which is of about 70.
Yes.
So it was just all in all, they were around a lot of where the issues were at.
Yeah, they were. And when you look at the Patriots passing game, it does exploit the underneath coverage extremely well, and that's what we saw. We saw the two touchdowns against against Carlos Dansby, where James White essentially just beat him to the flat. So those were an issue. Up to 20 yards in the middle of the field, Brady was 16 for 17 for 230 yards. So he did exploit the linebackers, whether it was behind them or just in front of them. You know, it was, you know, that, but again, that's the way the New England passing game works. So it's something the Bengals need to get better at, but I don't know that they're going to face another passing attack like that.
The one person you mentioned is Carlos Dansby, and a lot of fans talked about him after the game because, well, it was the most obvious ones on the touchdown where he was clearly behind. He's not getting any younger. He's 34. So a guy like that, everyone sort of is always waiting for him to fall off. But really, in recent years, coverage, he's been very good in coverage. It's really been a strong point for him.
Yes. I mean, he's been one of our top-graded coverage guys the last couple of years. Last year he had three interceptions, graded well in that department too. 2013 and 14 were two of his best seasons of his entire career. But we see this in the NFL all the time where guys just, you know, you lose a step and it gets exploited on the field. And I'm not saying that he's definitely done for sure, but we've seen it early in the year. He's clearly not the same player that he's been the last few seasons.
Has it been this year? His coverage grades, you know, you start going down and you're down in the 30 area in coverage this season. That's just not anywhere near what he has been in recent years. We'll see if that's a victim of first year in a new system and some tough opponents, some tough situations, or if it's something that continues, but certainly something that the Bengals are going to be watching as they go forward now this week against the Browns. Cody Kessler and the Browns, not exactly Tom Brady and the Patriots, so definitely a chance for a bounce back from the Bengals. We'll have all that and more as they then look forward to their trip to London and playing the Redskins next week on Bengals in Focus here at the Pro Football Focus Studios.